episode of TARPOD is brought to you by JobAdder. JobAdder is a recruitment software solution that helps in-house and agency recruiters around the world find and manage talent more effectively.
The team over at JobAdder are pioneers in this space. They're constantly working to make the hiring process easier for recruiters so you can spend more valuable time with your candidates and hiring managers.
Hop over to jobadder.com for a demo or to learn more about JobAdder's AI-powered platform, the award-winning global support and no lock-in contracts.
And make sure you tell them TARPOD sent you.
Welcome to TARPOD, the podcast for everything talent acquisition and recruitment. We're informative, controversial and a little bit crazy. Now, please join your hosts and industry leaders, Lauren Sharp and Craig Watson.
Hi, everyone. It's Lauren. Welcome to TARPOD.
And Craig here. And welcome to the very, very last episode of TARPOD for 2020. And what better way to see it out than to catch up with two fabulous friends of the show. We're going to talk about the year that was, the year to come. And so let's welcome the Swiss Army Knife of Talent, GM, Curator and Event Host for ATC, Jo Voland, and Talent Industry Queen of Connections, Director and Founder of Talent Table, Andrea Kirby. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
How are we?
Oh, brilliant.
Yes.
And we should let people know it's 10 a.m. and we're...
We've cracked the champagne
for Christmas.
Hello.
So it's going to go Christmas. Downhill real quick.
I thought we were in good company.
Yeah, the rules went out of the window for 2020, so I think that meant all rules.
We are now morning drinkers officially.
Yes. It's afternoon somewhere.
Yeah. Champagne for breakfast, gin for lunch, vodka for dinner.
And that's it.
And Dan, it's going to be losses. A long freaking day.
So anyway, look, what we thought that we invite you both in because you two are more connected and, you know, dropped into the industry than anybody else. We've had the craziest year on record.
Oh, shit.
So we want to get some feelings about what people are saying, what people are doing, what's happened, what's worked, what's fallen to shit, and then look for next year and hopefully some positivity and what's around the corner, but also talk about both your two businesses' events that are coming next year as well. So how do you want to kick this off, Lauren?
Well, we've got two powerhouses sitting with us right now.
On a very small table.
Oh, I know. Andrea, over to you.
For the two biggest events in our industry in the country. So how did you both cope? Like, we all pivoted so damn quickly.
The whole world. I hate that word.
I know. I never want to hear it again come 2021.
So many feelings. 2020s, yeah.
So many feelings come rushing
so
back.
Many feelings.
All the feelings. Well, let me say the first thing that went to pot in 2020 was my body.
Andrea, I am currently nursing a lower back injury, so I am right there. I can't say my home setup was overly ergonomic.
Yeah, mine wasn't either to start with, but I did go down that track about 2 months after sitting at the dining room table and realising that my osteo is going to get a shitload of money out of me if I keep this up.
Mm.
Mm. Yeah, now look, it's...
you just watched me come up the stairs in your office. My knees and hips.
Andrea was hobbling like, well, if she was a horse, I would have shot her.
My husband's ready to.
Fair enough. Our bodies have gone to shit. I must say, you guys can speak for yourself. I have not.
Oh, gee.
Word.
I went into focus mode. Boom. I've put on a couple of kilos, but I actually at one stage was looking damn fine.
Oh, you still do.
Oh, thanks, girls. But anyway, I digress. So this year, you two, your events just got canned.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. No other way of putting it, really.
Tell us about the range of feelings you guys sort of went through, but also what you did, because the unfortunate thing is the industry also relies on you guys as well. So, you know, to deliver learnings and keep people abreast of all the trends and everything like that. And for these events to particularly the face-to-face ones we're talking about mainly to be taken away, there must have been also a feeling of responsibility for the whole industry almost. So you guys probably...
I think that kind of sums it up. It was... I remember being in complete denial and my team looked at me and went, Andrea, this is real. You have to cancel your events. And they allowed me to run my last events at the end of February. And then they said, that's it. You have to start cancelling everything. And I literally did go to bed for a week. I came home from those events and I went to bed and I cried and I could not see how I was going to keep going. And I had two staff to pay that I loved, and yeah, it was just awful to go to that denial phase for a period of time. And you would have been the same?
Yeah, look, well, for us, you know, it was only a short time before ATC, so we were...
You were in full planning mode
of sales. Yeah, we sold sponsorships, we sold tickets, you know, we had to deliver something. And I think I was kind of quite early on, it's shut it down. And there were other people on the team that, it'll be okay. And I'm like... Nope, shut it down. For me, I think the guiding principle is, you know, only sell what you can deliver.
Right.
And so, like, what can we absolutely guarantee? And so, the transition to digital, like, if it hadn't have been for all of the other things, you know, restrictions and concerns about health and homeschooling and those kind of things, we actually had a fun time. Like, it was a fun time, and I'm not sure we'll ever go back to just the 2 days at the ICC.
Right, yeah.
You know, I we've really had a great time doing this, and, you know, I mean, before the podcast we were laughing about, you know, all of the tragic digital things that we've learned the hard way.
So what have we decided now? For anybody doing Zoom meetings, make sure your camera's not pointing up your nose. We've all seen it far too often this year.
I've seen too many nostrils.
That's it.
Yes, amongst other things.
I did flash just recently.
but that was by choice.
The zip on my dress didn't do up and one of my boobs fell out.
Oh, God. You had a Janet Jackson moment.
I had a Janet Jackson moment.
Oh, God.
Brilliant.
I missed that. Damn.
But it's also interesting how the industry itself has coped. So, what I find even more interesting, I was listening to your webinar a couple of days ago. There was a piece of research that came out probably about 4 weeks ago, maybe 5 weeks ago, and I can't remember for the life of me who it was, that said that 49% of our industry was impacted by either redundancies, reduced hours, or forced leave. Yeah. And yet, when I watched your webinar, it was a lot more upbeat from your results.
Yeah, and look, you know, we surveyed 133 really diverse talent teams. So, you know, we weren't kind of necessarily top heavy in one particular industry or one particular sort of size of organisation. But look, I think really what we took from that is that, you know, everyone had a really unique experience. You know, 14% of the companies that we surveyed actually grew. So, you know, there were a few surprises in amongst that. And, you know, I think you do tend to hear a lot about the people that have been impacted, and, of course, your heart goes out to them and everyone's rallying around and, you know, what roles are out there and what can we do. And that sort of takes up a lot of the noise and the space. But 83% of the people also reported doing fairly similar duties, you know, albeit reduced caseload.
Yep.
And that just allowed them to do different things. And what was really beautiful is, you know, people really dialed up candidate care. And, you know, all the things that we've been talking about for so long, the three things that it came down to is obviously, you know, a reduced workload and more automation. But the number one thing was just an absolute determined focus to do the right and the kind and the respectful thing. And it just goes to show that, you know, it can be done as long as you prioritise it.
Yeah. And speaking of that, and, you know, another great initiative that came out of this year is Jobs for Australia. So tell us, we've never really had anyone on the podcast to talk about it specifically.
Yeah.
So give us an overview of sort of how it came about and some of the machinations, or, you know, the processes and...
Well, we ended up hosting Friday night drinks for the talent community. And
it's like a wake. It was like a wake every week.
It was, well, it felt like it at the beginning.
It did,
you know, one by one, we sort of all came on for this forced jolly of let's just connect and get together. And then one by one, people would come on and they'd lost their jobs, or they'd announce on the WhatsApp chat that day that they'd lost their job. And then we'd all get on at night and, you know, commiserate and what can we do to help. And that connection part has been the biggest thing that's come out of this year, this community thing. So I was watching that happening. I'm in bed, as Joe is as well, our first thing is what can we do to help?
Mm.
So I had heard of Jobs for Lebanon from Roy Bilaldi from Smart Recruiters, where he was helping with Lebanon being in such a mess, and this was before they had the big
explosion,
was that they were bringing Lebanese, the people in Lebanon were losing their jobs. They were earning about $100 a day if they were lucky, and they were in trouble. So the Lebanese community outside of Lebanon were hiring the Lebanese people as contractors. Mm. He handed over the playbook to me of how he'd set that up. So I phoned Rich Lewis Jones and said, could we find a way for our talent community to help others? And the original premise was because I'd also connected with Justine Figo, and she had called me because she wanted our TA people to help HR people with their recruiting while they were busy preparing their businesses for COVID. So we originally were connecting up HR people and TA people that had lost their jobs to help with company recruiting. Mm. And as it went on, we actually set it up to be a counselling service. And so we had TA people who are people who want to help, actually coaching out-of-work job seekers who'd never, some of them were just not getting interviews, and all of a sudden they got an interview and then they got the job. And our community, our Jobs for Australia community, set up a recruiting function. Mm. They learnt Smart Recruiters. They learnt how to do online marketing. They learned how to coach. People were stepping up and training them on coaching. So all of a sudden they were picking up fantastic skills, and then they were supporting each other. And you know, people sort of say, oh, Andrea, what you did was amazing. You know what? I got people on a Zoom call and then I went, here it is. I haven't done much more than that apart from support them where I can. And then I went back to my life and they set it up. So if you're going to get anyone on, get them on.
They already organised for next year.
Yeah.
Could you go? You're the organiser. The organiser over here.
I absolutely adore watching Olga Barrett's videos.
Yes. Oh, I do too. Aren't they fabulous?
And I know she was one of the people.
She started with us.
Yeah,
yes.
You know, in there. And I said to her, I was out for far too many cocktails with her last night. And I said to her, I don't think I could ever go back to career coaching because, you know, not only is your content spot on, you are so bloody entertaining.
Yes.
It is like, how does your brain make these connections? So anyone out there looking for a great career coach, urge you. She's the real deal.
And then you watch Sandra Lim, who was also one of our early people and headed up sort of the marketing aspect. She wanted to grow in recruitment marketing and things. And then now she's doing her own videos. And one of our dearest who was with us right from the beginning, who set up sort of the coaching aspect of it all and training our people, has since been diagnosed with lymphoma cancer.
Mm.
And she put up on the Slack group, I need to pull out, folks, I'm doing this. But to watch our little Jobs for Australia people jump in and support her, and we created a Spotify list for her. But these are lifelong friendships, and they got together last Thursday at our Talent Tribe Christmas party, and tears, love.
It was interesting because a lot of them last Thursday night hadn't met each other face to face.
It was
really interesting. So
there was a lot of people there I hadn't met face to face, and I mean dealing with them all year through Jobs for Australia, through Tarpod, and so many of the other things that we've been doing. And it's like, oh my god, I finally got to meet you.
It was pretty special.
This is the first time we've had guests in the studio probably since March.
No wonder we've cracked the champagne.
Yeah, and speaking of that, keep talking. I'm gonna top up the glasses.
Lauren, oh my god, I'm.
So yeah, obviously, like we're talking, we had a bit of a laugh offline before about the video, and Joe, you were saying it's so much easier to speak at a live event,
so much easier
than what it is on video, and then laughing at Andrea's outtakes and all of the above. So come next year, we're going back into live. We're hitting. What have you girls got up your sleeves?
Right. Well, shall I go first? Yeah, you Mine's go, the first event, event yeah, off the off the rank.
I hope there's no dates clashing either, are there?
So we've merged calendars. Yeah, there's no dates clashing. We've had our chat. Jo and I actually live in the same suburb and our children go to the same school. So despite Amazing. Thinking that Talent Tribe, Talent Table, what's the name of my company? Talent Table and ATC are competitors. We call ourselves co-peditors and we actually do a lot together. That's nice. And,
well,
and I support.
The big event that we were due to collaborate on, this was going to be our, you know, the crown jewel in our, you know, event life was the school fete.
Yes.
Andrea's son is year six, so we've that's it. 2020 has robbed us of our
big moment
together,
participating together on event organising.
I would have loved to have seen the, you know, who had the final say on the microphone. It would have been a ripper.
Yes, I will always push anyone out of the microphone.
I would have gone to that fate.
It's renowned for one of our parents works at Shandon, so it's renowned for its champagne.
Fabulous.
Yes, yeah. Or it's sparkling, whatever you call it these days.
So Talentpalooza.
Talentpalooza.
You know, so that's on my birthday.
Is it? Yeah, oh, my God, March the 18th. Everyone. Craig Watson. Everyone buy drinks for Craig. Well, actually, it's an open bar, isn't it? Oh. I'll be buying your drinks.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
So, you know, when you see a great, when I see a great ad campaign or something, I always think, oh, what were the conversations around the table that, you know, what were the creative discussions? Was there anyone in your team that wanted to call it Recruiterpalooza?
No, funnily enough.
No. But it came up from it came up from Friday night drinks.
It did start on Friday night drinks. I said I want to do something outrageous.
All good things come from Friday night drinks.
Friday night Zoom drinks. That's where
and
it came
I went,
from.
What can I call an event that is going to bring everyone together, that is going to have a really great vibe about it. And after we're this, you know, we'd had to cancel all of our events, I said, so as soon as we're live, I'm going to put on an event that just is going to have fantastic content, but we're actually going to celebrate who we are and we're going to love getting together and, you know, let's feel groovy about it all, because I am an old person. And then we came up with, people were saying, call it Talentcella, Recruiterchella. And then someone went, well, what about Palooza? And everyone was just going through all of the
musical
festivals
of the 90s.
All the music festivals of the 90s, yes, we were. And so finally someone said Talentpalooza, and it just, it was Lauren. No, someone else wrote, someone else is taking credit for it.
Oh, bullshit, I said that.
Oh, here we go.
Whoever is out there saying that and taking my credit, I'll have you.
Well, someone came up with it. Someone came up, yes. Someone very clever came
I'll
up with
I'll have you.
It. So 18th of March, folks, we're running it in Melbourne. We're running it at Welcome to Thornbury, which is a food truck park. We have the opportunity to have three stages, but we are building it in a COVID-safe way. We're starting with 150 tickets, which, trust me, will sell out immediately. Mm. We are doing – our theme is peace, love and talent. And we're talking about all the ways you make your people feel groovy. So,
oh my God, so we're going with the flower child,
we are
hippie
going
Woodstock.
1970s cultural revolution, feminism was kicking off, the first computers were being developed. So we are looking.
You got your first job then, Lauren?
I wasn't even born. Ouch.
I was in high school. I was kissing my first boy.
It's all right.
Craig, what was his name?
Richard.
Hi, Richard.
If you're listening.
Yeah, I'm not going to say his surname.
Yeah, if you're listening, Richard.
He was a gorgeous redhead and all the girls loved him. But I didn't actually know I was supposed to kiss him, so he dropped me.
Have you ever Facebook stalked him in the last...
No, we met up at school.
I still am.
Reunions.
Oh,
yeah,
gee,
yeah. See him, so he's still gorgeous. Anyway.
Look at what you missed out on, Richard.
He married one of the girls we went to school with, so she's gorgeous too. Everyone's gorgeous. So we are talking about you know, things like obviously recruitment stuff around attraction and candidate care and making your candidates feel groovy. But we're also going to talk a lot about well-being and employee experience and those sorts of things. So everything that makes your people feel groovy. So it's not just a recruitment event, it's a talent event. Mm-hmm. So HR people.
Two questions.
Yes.
When will do you think tickets will start going on sale, and when can people start expecting an indication of some of the speakers?
Next week.
And can I buy the first one?
Yes. That's
it. It's auction.
If Joe from ATC is not at Talent Palooza, we ran an event last year where our theme was heroes, and she turned up as Greta Thunberg. I think most of us were wondering who this chick was with the long blonde hat and the plaid.
People almost fell off their chair when at some point my wig got itchy and I scratched it and it completely moved off my head and it fell off.
That's going on, eh?
Yep. So we are doing a special deal on hotels if people want to fly in from around Australia.
So 150 people so far, and that's obviously under current COVID restrictions. Do you think that they're going to lift and you'll get more ticket sales from
Dan? Beautiful Dan. I stand with Dan.
I stand with Dan.
We love Dan. Well, we are Fitzroy people.
Yeah.
Restrictions have been lifted as long as we have 2 square metres.
Yeah,
so
2 square metres.
This week or next week, we're going in to meet with the venue and say, okay, what we can do. There are 3 spaces and an out. There's actually 4 spaces and an outdoor area. So we'll grow the event in a way that is safe for everyone to attend. We're asking someone to sponsor hand sanitizer. Who knows, we may even come up with talent table or talent palooza masks. So it will be built in such a way that people will be safe.
Well, that's excellent. Well, Tarpod do have a little surprise for everyone who attends as well.
Oh, hey. Oh. Well, I can't ask what it is.
No, you can't.
Well, I don't even know what it is.
Most importantly.
And the reason that you don't know, because it would probably be broadcast right now if you did.
Yes.
I would. I'd tell everyone.
Yeah, you don't know. You never know what's going on. Lauren's the power.
She's
behind
the
throne. But 1970s theme, folks. So think Charlie's Angels, disco, John Travolta.
Might come as far a faucet.
Shit.
Well, why don't you two come as Starsky and Hutch? Oh,
that's a possibility.
There you go.
Or Chips. Remember the fellows on the micro?
Eric Estrada. Yep. Eric Estrada.
Mork and Mindy. Mork and Mindy all of a sudden.
I think there's a
you can go
there's
out.
A fair few people listening right now going, what the hell are they talking about? But I'm right there with you.
Yeah, thank you. So 1970s, so festival gear, long hair, John Lennon glasses.
Love Can't it. Wait.
Sergeant Peppers.
You do realise that half of our industry is going to have to Google this.
Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin.
Who won't they?
Well, that sounds great.
Joe, yeah. When's your first event?
Well, so if I remember correctly, it's the 25th, I don't know, 24th or too much champagne, it's early in the morning. So, look, the event that we are holding is called 10 Days of Talent.
Ooh.
And, welcome to the talent universe. Yeah. And because we're like, well, you know, we have to hold a live event. I mean, people are just desperate to to get together. We are, you know. And but we also we have to hold a digital event because what happened is when we held the digital event this year, the very first people to register are people who had never attended the live event before. And we just went, you know, There are people all over the country that can't necessarily fly in, and from an inclusivity perspective, like we've got to do something that reaches everyone. And you know, we thought, oh wow, some people from Tasmania registered. You know, isn't that great? And then we held the event and had a look at where people were dialing in from. We had someone from Mongolia dialing in. So we had like 27 countries or something. Well, what the hell? So yeah, there were some really beautiful surprises that came out of it. So we just went, oh, look, you know, typical ATC, like, let's just do it all. Let's do all the things. So, look, we're going to have the, you know, digital events happening on different days. Some of them will be sort of meet-up, you know, discussion, and others will be, you know, content and then live Q&A. We're going to have a live event in Melbourne for, like, goodness, let's wait and see. But, you know, 150 at this point, yep. and also a live event in Sydney for 150. And then the thing I'm most looking forward to is a drinks that'll happen all over the country at exactly the same time on the same night. And then, you know, we're going to Facebook Live and it's basically, you know, this is the unity drinks of everyone together in every single city all over the country. So we've got a lot planned and, you know, this is the point at, you know, the planning is, you know, we're in those early stages where everything seems possible. And so come back, talk to me in a couple of months' time. We're just like,
when is
what
it?
The hell have we done? So it's the last week of May, first week of June.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, 25th of May, if
give
I remember.
Us a,
I'll
give
back
us a little warm up over winter.
Yeah, that's I think exactly that's right.
Such a fabulous idea. Wish I'd thought of it myself.
That's all right. I'll come to yours. You come to,
yes,
to ours.
I'll be at yours.
We'll do all the things.
Excellent, excellent. So do you think that moving forward, both of you, question for both of you, moving forward that it's going to be a mix of virtual and face-to-face? It's, you know, like nearly everything that you ran prior to COVID –
It was live,
yep.
Yeah, no, we're doing everything hybrid.
Hybrid,
almost every event we'll do. There's some that aren't going to, because we do a lot of small events throughout the year. Most of them will be hybrid. So our leader get-togethers, we will be doing it live in one city and I get to travel around the country into each city. And we'll stream it to the rest of the country using our fabulous Remo platform where they all sit on round tables and chat.
And with both of you too, you know, because both of your flagship events have had international speakers, if your event is live next year, what thought have we given to around international speakers?
Yeah, local, absolutely, for live events, but we'll definitely have international speakers for the digital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Look, at this point, it's just whatever we promise, we need to know we can absolutely deliver on.
Yeah, and a lot of that boils down to the technology too, right? So if you want to stream someone live from the UK into a room of 150 people and the technology lets you down, it's tough.
You've got to make sure. A backup plan for the technology. So it's almost like you have to have a backup speaker just in case.
Yeah.
Bill Borman seems to think he's getting on a plane for both of our events.
he'll swim across if he has to.
I think he'll turn up for yours and just stay until ours.
That does not
and
surprise
me. And the difficulty
me.
Is also it's the time differences. Two. They'll be presenting at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And
we had Bill in the car as you know, he was out doing his deliveries to the homeless. It was after midnight.
I was too, yes. I remember watching that.
Yeah.
So that'd be really interesting. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. No, he's getting very tired of us doing drunken phone calls to him when we're out and about.
Oh, yeah. I noticed on Facebook you did that last week.
Well, the shoes flipped a bit, isn't it? In the second wave that hit all through Europe and obviously the position that the US finds itself in, and now Australia. And, you know, touch wood and all that sort of stuff. All of us are based in Melbourne here, but the restrictions every day or every week are getting less and less and we're getting closer and closer to normal. And it's just no one knows what's going on.
I'm actually looking forward to hopefully seeing in the next year when we get that New Zealand bubble open up where we can travel, because there's some phenomenal people over in New Zealand doing some stuff that actually...
And Singapore, if that comes into the bubble as well, because they've
been doing
well.
Just to get some of those people over here to the event and see them speak will be really, really good.
Well, I remember last year speaking to both Bill and Hung were saying that they both believe that New Zealand's almost the epicentre of the world of change. A lot of it's driven over there because it's a smaller market and they can risk
it and
try it.
The most diverse city in the world. Absolutely. So they just have to get it right. And I remember running Sourcing Social Talent in Auckland maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and I was so impressed. I was absolutely blown away by the calibre of recruiters that they had there. It was really, really impressive.
We had some speakers lined up and we were going to go to New Zealand.
Yeah,
we
would have just finished event.
We were going to do our first New Zealand event.
Just delayed.
It's delayed.
Yes.
Yeah. The whole world's been on pause.
South Australia, though, we're coming for you this year.
Look out.
South Australia.
Coincidentally, so many wineries.
I know, right?
Surprise!
As everyone reaches for their champagne.
Yes.
And I'm not kidding. All three of you just picked up your glasses.
You're talking, we're drinking. Yeah.
So in terms of trends, right, 2021, we're already seeing a lot of businesses ready to tackle the next phase.
The ramp up at the moment is quite huge.
A lot of people aren't going to be able to take time off.
People are exhausted.
I know, and yet people aren't going to be able to take time off over the traditional time off over January.
We talked about this on the tram, on the Andrea and I caught the tram in together. And
we've already done tarp off.
We did out. We arrived and we said, sorry, guys, we've done the podcast. Done we did it on the tram. I was talking to, one of the big banks, and they said, you know, we've just ended our hiring freeze. We have a 2-year high of approved roles.
Wow.
Even if you aren't exhausted from recruiting, you're exhausted from 2020.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just generally. Mm. And so I think, you know, the focus on well-being and that was a really beautiful thing to come out of the report, is everyone saying, look, you know, those that were left in the function overwhelmingly felt so overwhelmed with the support that they got from their leaders and their organisation. But, you know, that just has to continue. It has to continue, and we're because seeing now some there's some real work happening.
Yeah, and you're seeing some gorgeous new tech coming out about well-being as well. Mm. I just did a survey through one of the new pieces of tech that asked me to check it out. Turns out I am actually still falling apart. But
is the tech good?
The tech was brilliant.
Who is it?
So,
I want you to mention them so I can chase them up for sponsorship.
Go I'll tell you them. Offline.
No, no, tell them now. If we mention their name, they've got to pay.
Send you the bill afterwards.
I should mention them because I'm about to hit them up for my event as well. But there's two of them actually out there at the moment, and I'll share them with Joe as well because it would be great to see. They're both Australian products.
It's a funny thing too, well, not funny, haha, but when all of this all kicked off this year, there was two groups. There were the companies that looked after their people, cared about their well-being. Then there were the companies that I'm just thinking of my bottom line.
Mm. Well, they got rid of their TA teams.
Most of them did, and now they're the companies that are going to hurt next year. You can see that coming now because of the way they've treated people and
they're all trying to recruit their TA teams again.
Yes, exactly. Mm. And we've all talked. We've all been drinking together on Friday nights. But yeah, they're the two things that are thinking. And well-being is huge. Huge at the moment, and I think the exhaustion has come, pure mental exhaustion of having to deal with all of this.
Well, I put up a post 2 days ago on LinkedIn about I've been in Sydney this week, and I just booked the flight. I thought, well, I've got to go up to Sydney, I've got to host a Christmas party, let's go up and see all the vendors, let's do this. And I just booked the flight and thought, yeah, it'll be fine. I almost had a panic attack in the taxi on the way there, and I thought, I have no concept of how I'm going to do this for the next 2 days. And I ran my first day of meetings, got back to the Airbnb and literally fell apart. I had the opportunity to go out to dinner, but I was so tired of being in crowded places.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're not social distancing in the restaurants. Nobody was wearing a mask. And for me, it was just confronting, and I had to go home and just recuperate so I could go out the next day and do it again. Yeah. So there's also going to be a difference between cities. Sydney people are just out there living their lives. Melbourne people are still recovering.
Victoria is the unique experience, and it's going to take a while.
But that well-being piece is going to be crucially important next year. Not only just the well-being for being able to deal with what's going on, but there are people out there that I've spoken to that feel, even though they've had reduced workload this year, feel guilty about taking a holiday. And everyone needs it. Emotionally, people need a holiday.
I've seen a lot of people that have, just worked through. Because there's nowhere to go and you feel like, oh, well, I'm using my leave but I'm not able to do anything great. But the result has been burnout.
Yeah.
And
I actually forgot what day it was, and I kept working one Saturday, and I was ringing clients and candidates and all sorts of things. And the days were melding into one. You can't leave your house any more than an hour a day. And I got up and just went into autopilot and just started working.
On
a Saturday morning, I think it was 9.
How to win friends. And
I think it was the fourth or fifth phone call. And I said, Lauren, you do realise it's Saturday? I went, oh, shit, sorry. So then I started texting all the people I'd called and said, I'm really sorry, I didn't realise it was Saturday.
My phone calls were spent with Green Arrow being watched in the background by my son, and, of course, every time the man took his shirt off, I'd be on the phone going, oh. Sorry, well, that, he just took his shirt off again.
There's a question. I think that this year's been the year of watching, you know, streaming TV shows. What's been your favourite?
Oh, gosh. There's been quite a few favourites, but the one that's really resonated with me, and I'm not a horror film person or anything like that, and I started watching The Walking Dead. And I know I'm 10 years behind everybody else, right? But the funny thing is that you go back to the first season of The Walking Dead, there's a disease that's just taking over the world. The CDC gets blown up. There's no leadership. The President of the United States gone MIA. I'm like, holy shit, it's this year.
It's 2020.
And so I've been addicted to watching. I'm halfway through season four at the moment, watching this show going, okay, so this zombie show.
You've got so much to come.
Apparently I have.
I've never seen
and
it.
I had neither, and I felt like I was almost running out of things to watch. But The Walking Dead is basically COVID.
Yeah. Yes, well, I watched Years and Years, which I think had been on SBS for ages, and it projects into the year 2030.
Yeah.
And a Farage-like person takes over the UK. Good. Emma Thompson plays the Prime Minister. But again, they have this pandemic and they lock people away in concentration camps. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there watching it thinking,
stop it.
You know, my God. And it's so funny that these future things were coming true this year.
Mm.
I just had to escape into comedy, so mine was just Schitt's Creek. And I think I've
watched that three
twice,
times.
So I think I'll go back again.
If one more person tells me I look like Moira.
You're going to start talking like it.
Ew, David.
Schitt's Creek is the best.
I've watched that series three times now. So I think it's awesome. My next dog is going to be called David.
One. Yes.
Yeah.
When David.
Ew, David.
Well, I got all my big necklaces out and went, oh, crikey, I really am Moira.
That's it. When you start getting your wigs out, you'll know for sure. What about you, Joe?
Oh, look, we sort of tried to do this thing where we're like, let's pretend we're, you know, overseas. Let's pretend life's normal, and let's pretend, you know, we're going to other countries. So whether it was cooking and we were doing the Atlas Masterclass, and okay, this week we're in Peru and next week we're in Mexico and then we're off to Italy, and you know, we'd immerse ourselves in that music and that kind of wine and food for the week. And then we started doing that with TV shows. So the one that we've just finished watching is Tokyo Girl. And it's in Japanese. It's subtitled.
It's in Japanese.
And
I don't read television. I can't.
But it is really, you know, lovely escapism. Mm. It's really lovely to see.
So that's,
you know,
smart.
Yeah, and
very evolved. I'm just drinking vodka and watching Green Arrow.
Well, thank you, Chef. keep in mind we are Walking Dead tragics, and we're also on Fear the Walking Dead. So we're
I haven't watched that one yet.
Yeah.
I might watch that one because that's got that lovely American actor Nico Tortorella in it. Mm. And if he takes his shirt off, I'm all over that, like a fat kid on cake.
You're in a room full of women being in the room.
Right.
Well, two of us are. Joe's always well behaved.
Sometimes far too well behaved. So I remember, you know, at ATC, you know, it's such a big event, you know, the one that you hold at the ICC, and there's always all these parties, you know, that people are hosting all these fancy dinners and big parties, and, you know, you've got six invites to go to, you know, all these amazing things. But you know what I do?
You go home and...
I go back to the hotel room, I order a bowl of soup.
And get ready for the next day.
And I'm like a nana, right? And because, you know, I've still got, you know, decks I'm preparing because there's always some last minute
You're
things.
Working.
I'm working. I've got to be back up on stage, you know, early, full of energy. And I don't trust myself, quite frankly, to go out and do the same. So I have to sort of quarantine myself. And I remember saying one year, I think it was to Gareth Flynn and Jamie Simon, who was at SEEK. And they're, oh, yeah, which party are you going to? And I said, no, my plans are... go back to the hotel room, order a bowl of soup and watch Pole Dark. And they were like, Pole Dark? You mean like from
period costumes?
Period costumes. And I'm like, yep, that's That's what I'm doing.
That's
tonight.
Why Talent Palooza is only one day.
Very, very smart. I'm like, see me tomorrow night once we've wrapped, and it's no problem. You know, we'll go out all night long. But well, yeah,
the one event that we've done, which was the IDAs, it was all pre-recorded, right? So nice and easy, and all I had to do was press buttons, I think, three times for the whole show to make it work.
Yeah, that went well.
I got the third one wrong.
Oh, shit.
What? So it was pressing buttons.
It's like you had one job, guys.
Exactly. That's what I said.
Because we hosted the platform, you had three of us sitting in our office going,
What's he done? What's he done?
What's he done?
I've just pressed so we replayed the second part of the show.
For about 10 seconds, I'm like, oh, my God, you had one thing.
One thing.
Well, it doesn't pay to drink and...
Look, I didn't notice.
I don't know if you remember this, Craig, but 20 minutes ago you asked about trends.
We better loop back.
Somehow we got into the Walking Dead.
Well-being.
Green Arrow, is it?
Yeah.
Is that the one?
Yeah, so we know. So well-being is going to be – but other things, so in terms of, I guess, tech or process, what are we seeing? What do we think is going to happen?
Look, I'm really, really excited to take from a content perspective rather than it be, you know, a bit of a siloed, you know, TA's talking to TA and it becomes a bit of an echo chamber because, you know, we all get the same struggles but everything's from one perspective. And so one of the things I've got booked in for the event is it's a focus on an organisation. And so we've got the COO speaking, we've got the hiring manager speaking, we've got the head of TA speaking, and we've got the head of onboarding speaking. And so we're basically doing this 360
It's going to be like WrestleMania.
Yeah, basically. and so what we'll do is really sort of do a focus on an organisation and say why in this company, and even with their recruiting partners, there is friendship and respect, you know, within that partnership. And so, you know, what we really want to look at is powerful hiring teams. Like TA is a team sport is what it's called. And, you know, rather than, okay, TA is trying to strive and do everything they can, but really it's about every other stakeholder, you know, in and outside of the organisation to really make this work. So being able to kind of do that 360 view and hear from the COO, you know, why is it that you have elevated talent so much in your organisation? One of the things we hear all the time from people really striving to do the best is we just can't seem to influence and get the resources that we need or the business to understand it. And the business are saying, look, we need people to understand the business more, to speak the language of the business, to, you know, to give us what we don't have, which is an understanding of the market. And so, you know, I think the second thing to come from this is really, you know, with remote working, we've blown the talent market wide open. You know, people, and we saw this from the survey, people aren't hiring now. Now when people send me a role and say, do you know someone for this role? First thing I say is, you know, have you got a clear salary range? Because I'm not talking to anyone unless you are very transparent about the salary range. And number two is, you know, where do they have to be based? And I've seen the huge shift now from saying it can be anywhere. Mm-hmm. No problem. I think that's going to open up a lot of other challenges in terms of, you know, COLAs, cost of living adjustments, and
but and also maintaining culture as
culture,
well.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, my team are now just coming into the office twice a day, and it's changing the way we work.
Yeah,
twice a day, twice a week. I wish they did, Renee and Michelle.
We know
they're coming in twice a week, and they've said to me, "We're only coming in on Tuesdays and Thursdays."
Yeah,
And it's changing.
I love that they're leading it.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, Andrea.
Yeah, by the way, just in case you're wondering. Yes, thank you, Michelle and Renee. It's been really helpful. No, I, of course, support everything they need to do because they keep us going. But I also think just the people, I think TA are looking at their roles a little differently, and we have seen a shift to some of our TA people actually taking on wider people and culture roles.
Yeah.
So for us, we are going to be looking at the role of a TA person expanding into the wider talent role, but we're also going to be partnering with other communities like people analytics and HR and say, okay, how can we all work together or how can we skill across the three areas?
And if you look at workforce planning, I mean, you know, there's always this argument of big or small workforce planning, and where does it sit? Does it sit with the C-suite, or does it sit as part of HR? And what you know, I remember doing this, you know, it was a couple of years ago now, but it was a fabulous panel, and we had the workforce planner for Queensland Health, and they were really talking about, you know, how they plan out the next 10 years. You know, from a health perspective, you know, they have really diverse communities that they need to manage, remote Indigenous communities, and they need certain people with certain cultural understanding to be able to perform that work. And so they were building out their 10-year health strategy. I mean, you know, that's huge. That's not a role that can sit in talent. But I think in a lot of organisations, and this is where we've been talking about total talent, you know, the rise of the contingent workforce, all those kind of things. So, you know, you've got your perm side and grad side and contingent side and all those sorts of things coming together as total talent. But now, you know, everyone's talking about mobility. And so by the time you merge all of those different factors together, talent becomes so big that you kind of go, well, you know, the head of HR quite often has never worked in a talent role, yet talent is enormous.
Can I ask a question? With everything that's happened this year and that increased responsibility across talent that we are seeing, and especially into mobility and other things that we've had to, will D&I suffer in the short term? Because people were really focused on that prior to COVID.
I don't think it will. So we just ran our Women in People Analytics, HR and Talent event with a focus of D&I, and it showed me how, certainly if you approach everything with that evidence-based approach and you start with the data and you start with the evidence and then you look at where you're at as an organisation and where you want to get to, you can put D&I in to all of that. And I think that actually that's going to stay a really big focus. I mean, we've seen some amazing shifts. God, I wish I hadn't. Second champagne. We've seen some amazing shifts in the way we are looking at our Indigenous community here, how Black Lives Matters. You know, there's been some real sort of very strong articles about why women have been affected through women have been affected. I think it's still going to stay a focus. You almost have to start with that and then, or think about that as you're building your talent agenda.
I think it shouldn't be affected, and I don't think it will be affected, because it should be the core when you're recruiting anyway, and you're doing your talent and you're out there looking at everything, because D&I should always be on your mind. You should always be hiring diverse people, and it should not be an issue. I think Adam Croft said that very early in our careers doing the podcast, that it's not an issue because we don't make it an issue and everyone's welcome.
You've got to change your hiring manager mindset still. Yeah, you're still dealing with the people.
I think this, though, it's still sort of is looking at this through a lens of, you know, corporate Australia. And if you look at the ABS labour force statistics, you know, 4 out of 5 job losses in Victoria this year have been women dropping out of the workforce. Now, half of them did re-enter the workforce in different roles, but half didn't. And, you know, not all of them are working for corporate Australia. I mean, you know, a lot of people have employed by, you know, ATC is a very small business. You know, Talent Table is a very small business. There's a lot of people employed by very small business.
Yeah.
And, you know, people employed casually in, you know, hospitality and retail and all of those industries. So I think no matter what corporate Australia does to focus on D&I, that's not all people everywhere. And I'd love to see more data breakdown on that. And, you know, the interesting conversation coming out of the US actually is the focus on D&I has been so strong that sources and recruiters are actually being told, you know, we only want diverse applicants. So actually we want you to instantly reject white men.
That's very, very much walking on a sword.
Yeah, and so, you know, there's a lot of discomfort from people to say, oh, God, I you know, how do I you know, naturally uncomfortable with this. And, you know, I was sort of thinking about it and I was sort of saying, well, you know, I remember there was an organisation here in Australia, you know, very male-dominated, and they announced, to the applause of everybody, you know, the next X amount of people we're going to hire are going to be women because we need to balance our organisation. And so the way that they presented that was, you know, in this very noble way. But ultimately what it means is men are being rejected for roles. And so depending on how you package, and this is, you know, good old marketing and comms, depending how we package this up, it can seem like a disgrace or it can seem noble. And that they're the things that we really need to look out for. And, you know, I totally get the need. There's a very big need for people to balance their workforce and particularly balance their leadership teams. But, yeah, it's really tricky, and I think so much needs far more thinking, and I think this is the area where hopefully, like, my, you know, touch wood desire will be that we'll actually see, you know, ethics, you know, people who have studied ethics entering, you know, HR and recruitment space to actually really think through all the sides rather than just one.
Yeah, we need to stop being knee-jerk, I think, about, you know, well, we need more women, we need more this, and starting with that very inclusive messaging as well.
Yeah.
So
we've gone way over time, but let's just That's finish up with maybe just one, just a throwaway. What, and I'll go with you first, Andrew, what are you most looking forward to for next year? What are you most looking forward to?
People. touching them.
All right, we might have to cut that.
Look, I think certainly this year has shown me the power of community, the power of connection, and building on that now and saying, well, let's get some of you in person and let's find ways to bring the whole community together using digital. I think I just think that I'm incredibly optimistic about next year. I think we've learned so much this year, and I think this connection, community and finding empathy and support has just created, I think, what is going to be a very beautiful 2021.
It's always difficult to go second, Joe.
No, ditto. That's it, I'm done. No, I totally agree. And, you know, I think the when I wrote the theme of ATC 2020 and it was to become an unstoppable force for good, responsible recruiting, and we talked a lot about human factor and empathy and you know, I think people read it initially and were like, oh, this is a bit, you know, airy-fairy.
You don't need to rewrite 2021.
Yeah, exactly. And then all of a sudden, you know, people felt it, like they felt it in their own lives, you know, and we've seen people just through sheer determined focus and also, look, massive shout out to Steve Gard and Circle Back as well. Like, there are so many great initiatives really, you know, coming out of this. I mean, I was talking to someone the other day and we were saying, obviously, World War II, you know, that's terrible, that's bad. But what came out of it? Women in the workforce, right? And so we've got to look at the same thing and say, you know, particularly Victoria, you know, we've been so challenged by this, but look at all the great stuff coming out of it. And seeing the way that all businesses, not just talent, but restaurants and cocktail bars and, you know, all these different places
there's been some magical times and things that they've done.
Yeah.
Really creative.
Look, and, you know, this is the bit where it's like, you know, are we going to continue with this mad creativity or are we just going to go back to same?
I think you're right. The creativity is here to stay.
Yeah. I really hope so. And, you know, we've seen some brilliant, you know, even, you know, in our friendship group, you know, we've had a couple of get-togethers. I attended a baby shower at 8 o'clock in the morning with, you know, coffee and champagne together with, you know, special homemade hat on and all those kind of things. But there were people dialed in from London and Macau and New York and LA and Brisbane and Melbourne and all over the world. And we were like, why the hell haven't we done this more often? Yeah. You know, what were we doing? Like, we just had blinkers on. You know, we had these invisible boxes, and I just think we're out of that now, and we've got to continue to press forward with that.
I agree. I think this big stop has forced not just personal lives and our business lives as well. We've jumped out of that comfort zone of, oh no, everyone has to be in an office, everyone has to be present, otherwise they don't work.
Oh,
we all know that that's bullshit.
It's bullshit, yeah.
Yeah, so we've jumped out of that. I think we've pushed that probably at least 5 or 6 years ahead.
You know, and absolutely. I think of all the companies, you know, the Work 180 and Flex Careers and all these great people who've been really trying to champion this and champion workplace flexibility, and you know, they've been out there doing it really tough for years, trying to get one by one when possible, and then boom, this has happened.
Yes.
All of a sudden, we're all on board.
Yeah.
And you know, this is great. Like, if that's the thing to come out of this, then we have to take those positives.
Yeah. I haven't told Craig yet, but I'm considering that we do Tarpod out of Spain for a month when we can travel.
I love it.
Or Queensland.
Well, stuff that. We go to Spain.
I went out with Olga Barrett last night, and she's got me desperate to go to Cyprus. Wow. So, we'll meet you there.
Traveling will be fun.
Well, I don't think we're going to travel for
another year.
Another 12 months, I think.
I just have to watch Getaway.
Yeah, but, you know, I think peace, love and talent.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it.
It's what it's about for 2021.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And 10 days of talent.
That's it.
Yeah. And on that note,
you didn't ask me what I'm looking forward to next year.
We know what you're looking forward to.
Craig, a whole year of you, Craig.
Oh, I thought you were going to say just dialing up your Tinder.
Yeah, well, I could say I have been blocked by COVID.
Lauren. I met my husband on Tinder. That's so you great. Go, girl.
Thank you.
Okay. If you ask him, he'll say we met at a wedding.
Oh, right.
But if you ask me, I've got a girlfriend
who met her husband on Tinder as well, but they tell everyone they met at the gym.
Yeah.
I'm really hoping I don't meet my husband on Tinder.
You'll be in trouble, Robert.
It's not too much alike. We were, in fact, at the same wedding 2 days before we met on Tinder, but we didn't meet at the wedding.
Oh,
and so, you know, he'll say, we met at a wedding.
Champagne. A liar. Sorry.
But on that note, look, congratulations to everyone for getting through 2020.
Yes.
And as a collective, we're all looking forward to 2021. Cheers. Yeah, cheers, everyone. And just from Lauren and my perspective, we'd like to thank all of the people who helped get us through this year from sponsorship, all of the guests and anyone who has taken the time to listen. Thank you.
All the beautiful listeners.
Yes, all the beautiful listeners. And all the new ones we've
And look, discovered. For anybody who has managed to hang on in there this long in this podcast.
I know, right. We're a long way in. We're pretty deep.
It's going to be a lot of editing.
Yeah.
Can we take out, there's a few things I'll
talk about. So on that note, everyone, it's a goodbye from me.
And a goodbye from me. Thanks again, guys.
Cheers.
See you, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.
We wouldn't have been able to bring you this episode of Tarpod without our good friends over at JobAdder. JobAdder is a recruitment software solution that helps in-house and agency recruiters around the world find and manage talent more effectively.
The team over at JobAdder are pioneers in this space. They're constantly working to make the hiring process easier for recruiters so you can spend more valuable time with your candidates and hiring managers.
So hop on over to jobadder.com for a demo or to learn more about JobAdder's AI-powered platform with award-winning global support and no lock-in contracts, Lauren. No lock-in contracts.
And don't forget, tell them that Tarpod sent you.
Woo!
Thanks for listening to Tarpod. Please don't forget to subscribe and look out for upcoming podcasts.
Welcome to your ANSET flight 456 through to lunch. My name is Lauren and I'll be your flight attendant for the day.
Are we going to join the Mile High Club today?
Already done that. Not today, though.
Oh, shit. It's recorded.
That's the red button.
Yeah, that's the outtakes that hit the end of everyone. God, he gets me.
Oh, well.